Sharon has our first reading for us.
Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Thank you, Sharon. Our second reading this morning is a collection of readings from the 13th chapter of Matthew. These are four short parables that Jesus told. I'm reading this from the New Revised Standard Version, and they're from all over the chapters. So just listen along this time. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. 3 measures of flour, by the way, is about 50 pounds of flour, enough in this case to make over 100 loaves of bread. This woman is not cooking supper for her family. She's preparing a feast. And then Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. This ends our gospel readings for this morning. God is speaking to us through these words. When God speaks, the words are always true. We can always trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I left you hanging last week over a cliff by your fingernails in the middle of this gripping parable of Laodicea proper. If you weren't here last week, the recording is up on the church website, so you can listen to it there. If you aren't here today, the recording will be up later this week, so you can listen to it then. When we paused last Sunday, Lady Proper was picking tomatoes, hot peppers, and onions from her garden. She looked up and saw her neighbor Polly, who you met last week, and 9 of her school friends standing at the gate, looking back at her in hopeful anticipation. A few days earlier, you will remember, Polly had learned to make sense of fractions over a serving of cantaloupe and ice cream. And no doubt that story had circulated around the school. Looking out at the kids, Lady P said, what is it today? Advanced calculus? Long division, one of the boys replied. We don't get it. It's even stupider than fractions. Well, Lady P replied, help me pick these tomatoes and peppers real quick, and we'll see what we can do. And that was the start of Miss Lady's after-school homework club. It wasn't long before the whole class was coming several times a week, sometimes 20 kids crammed her living room and kitchen. The day they discussed the French Revolution, Miss Lady taught them to make the perfect crust for a French cream pie. They studied the chemistry of homemade pasta and made their own mozzarella cheese while talking about the history of Italy. They tended her backyard chicken flock and talked about biology and animal husbandry. They practiced arithmetic with the tape measure, hammer, and saw as they cut boards and built a new chicken coop. After a few weeks of this, Lady Proper answered her doorbell one evening and found Sue Steiner, the mother of one of the kids in her club, standing at the door. Now, because it was late October and already cold, Lady Proper invited Sue into the kitchen to have a cup of tea. Her teapot full of mint tea from her own garden was stewing on the stove, and she invited her neighbor to sit down and warm up. "I wanted to thank you myself," Sue started out, "for all the help you're giving my son. Jack has never really liked school before, but he's doing better than ever this year, and I think that's because of your help." Lady Proper waved her hand and said, "Jack is a bright kid. I'm really not teaching him anything." "Well, I think you're being too modest, Lady Proper," Sue said. "But anyway, thank you." There were a few moments of silence, and Sue looked over at Lady Proper, and Lady Proper, looking puzzled, said, "What?" "Well," Sue said, "I was wondering if I could ask you a favor. It's a big favor, and if you say no or you don't have the time, I understand." "Can't hurt to ask," Lady Proper said. "Tell me what I can do for you." "Well," Sue started out haltingly, "Jack has been coming home telling me about the food you make for the kids. To be honest, he comes home raving about the food you make." Lady Proper was embarrassed by this, but she just smiled, so Sue continued. "I have always wanted to be a good cook. I don't know if I could learn, but I was wondering if maybe you could teach me." Lady Proper was quiet for just a moment, and then she said, "You know, Sue, my father used to have this saying. Laodicea, he would say to me, treasure your heart, and your heart will lead you to treasure." Now, I'm no chef, really, but I bet together we could cook up a little treasure, don't you think? You can guess where this is leading. A couple of weeks later, Sue and two of her friends showed up at the door with a bag full of groceries and a pumpkin. "We heard something about a pumpkin curry lamb stew," Sue said, with a hopeful gleam in her eyes. "Do you think we're ready for that?" "And homemade rolls," another woman said. "I've never had much luck baking bread." Well, it wasn't long before Lady Proper and six of her neighbors were crowding into her kitchen every week and having a perfectly wonderful time. Well, Lady P thought that she was getting a bit busy. And then she got real busy. Her phone rang one day with the director of the community center calling to ask if she would be willing to teach two cooking classes, one for seniors and one for families on a tight budget. "And we've been thinking," the director said, "lots of folks are asking for help learning to grow their own food. And canning and preserving is coming back into style now. Could you help us with that too?" And that was the beginning of a new tradition in the town of Rome Junction. Good food, good company nights became a thing. A renaissance in backyard gardening was born. The town was coming alive in new ways. Then one day, late in March, when most of the snow was gone and a few crocuses and daffodils were poking their heads above the cold ground, Lady Proper walked past her father's old church on the way to the community center, and she noticed, almost as if she'd never seen it before, the church had a side yard of most of an acre in size, and it had to be mowed every week, all summer long. Without thinking, as if she'd been planning this all winter long, though the truth was she just thought of it right at that moment, she turned off the sidewalk, went into the church, and knocked on the pastor's door. She was more than a little nervous, to be honest, because she hadn't actually been inside that church for quite a while. But the pastor welcomed her in. "What can I do for you, Lady Pomper?" he asked. "Well, not much, really," she said, "but I think I can do something for you. You have an acre hayfield next to the church. It must cost an awful lot to mow that grass all summer long. And think of all the gas you're burning and the noise and the pollution. That's an environmental disaster," she said with a sly grin. "I'm sure you'd like to remedy that, right?" "Well, I was just thinking as I was walking by. What if we turn your yard into a community garden? We could save all that gas money, and I bet I could get the gardeners to pay a little rent to the church and donate part of what they grow to the food pantry. And maybe we could find some kids who might otherwise be bored all summer and put them to work and teach them how to grow food. And maybe we could replace some of the food the town lost when the only real grocery store we had closed last summer. And maybe when people learn what really fresh food tastes like, some of our young folks will be encouraged to start farming again on all that land we have outside of town." She was getting excited now. "And maybe we can run a farmer's market every week in the church parking lot all summer. And if that happens, maybe a couple of businesses will come back to supply all those new farms, and then somebody will open a real restaurant, maybe a good Mexican restaurant, and maybe a real coffee shop would open up, and who knows what else might happen." She stopped to take a breath. "What do you think, Pastor?" Well, the pastor was silent for a moment. "I'm thinking," he replied, "of something I heard your father say many years ago, something I've never forgotten. Did you know I met him once? He came to my seminary when I was a young man and preached a sermon on a verse from the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you know it. It's where Jesus says, 'Don't store up treasure on earth, because it'll just rust and rot away. Instead,' he said, 'store your treasure in heaven, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.' I never much liked that saying," he told ADP. "I didn't want my heart stuck off in heaven. I wanted it here on earth where it could do some good. But then your father told us to listen to our own hearts, to trust our hearts. 'God is with you,' he said. 'You can follow your heart. It won't lead you astray.' Then he said this. He said, 'Treasure your heart, and your heart will lead you to treasure.' I don't think I've ever been sure what he meant until this morning, sitting here and witnessing this eruption of your heart's desire. You ask me what I'm thinking about of your plan, Lady P? That's what I'm thinking." "Funny," Lady C. Proper said, with another smile. "That's what I'm thinking too. Amen." Now remember, I said last week that we were spending some time on thinking about the future of the church. Keep in mind, what I just gave you this week and last week was a parable. Parables don't tell you what to do. They tell you how to think about what you might do. So if you think about this parable, think of it in that light. Not what to do, but how to think about what to do. Now we pray.